Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar, just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Mikhail. Just to continue with the Brexit discussion, markets have calmed down a little. In fact, it seems surprisingly resilient because they have bounced up off the lows and rallied a little. Do you think the worst is over?
Well, we will have to see, but I think the chances are that this will prove... The chances are quite good that this will prove another temporary upset as far as the global market is concerned. I'm not so sure about the British pound and the, let's say, non-globalized parts of the British equity market, which is also rallying, but that's largely a reflection of the strong devaluation that we saw in the pounds. But overall, yes, it might prove a temporary episode after all.
And looking at the what happened in the U.S. markets yesterday, I mean, they did extremely well, going up by about 1% or so. And in the last week or so, following the Brexit vote, a lot of people have been rushing back due to the U.S. dollar safe haven. How long can this kind of thing last, Mikhail?
The safe haven trade, of course, will not last forever. I mean, but... with regards to the U.S. dollar and some other currencies such as the yen, it's of course not only the risk aversion that drives them. It's also monetary policy or the differentials in monetary policy. So, by definition, such things do not last. But let's hope that that central banks respond to it. That is the most important thing. We already saw an indication yesterday, a strong indication actually from the Bank of England, as well as some rumors out of the ECB that they are prepared for more easing. We need to see a bit of that, quite a bit of that, I would say, also from Japan. And we need also the Fed to acknowledge it more explicitly that they are on top of this. If they do that, I think as far as the global shock is concerned, it could be mitigated.
And talking about the Japanese yen, it's moving quite strongly towards the 100 to the US dollar. And Prime Minister Abe, of course, feels this very unwelcome. How do you see this playing out in the kind of policies that will come out of Japan in the immediate situation after the Brexit?
Well, it's not only Mr. Abe who is concerned about the yen. It's basically the entire Japanese business community, as well as a lot of international players, because, you know, a strong yen is basically a global deflationary deflation absorber, and ultimately that's not good for Japan, and by consequence also, or, you know, which is a consequence of something that is not good for the world. What I expect out of Japan, probably after the election, or almost certainly after the election, I would say, is that the Bank of Japan will step in to ease substantively. The other reason, other than a risk aversion, global risk aversion for the strong yen, is that for about half a year or so, the Bank of Japan is quite strongly behind the curve when it comes to inflation. Now, I understand that they needed to wait to see what happens for political reasons, but if the last, we have the Brexit now, that's gone, or the Brexit vote, And we will have the election gone by July 10th, so they should be ready and capable of easing substantially in late July when they meet next time.
So what are you recommending for investments right now? Are you still on risk-off mode and looking at some defensive sectors?
Well, you know, risk-off is a simplified way of saying you need to have a strategy. our position is because, you know, you can't that easily switch on and off. That's not what we recommend. What we recommend is to have, we have a broad and neutral global asset allocation. We have a relatively reduced amount of equity but not too few equities. You still need equities. And we have balanced that strategically with a quite a high degree of alternative investments. And so far, it's been working reasonably well, I would say, despite the high volatility, and that the Brexit actually doesn't change our views on that much. We are in a phase now of global markets, which is going to be frequently interrupted by bouts of volatility, but not necessarily a turn into a big bear market. So I think that's important to distinguish.
Now, the situation of the U.S. banks seems quite interesting because 31 out of 33 banks have passed the U.S. bank's latest stress test, and apparently about $100 billion U.S. dollars are now made available for paying dividends. Is this a sector that you're looking at?
Well, I cannot really comment on a sector-by-sector basis. I think banks, if I may say something very generically, banks are still a risky proposition in this environment. The low rates are certainly a drag on earnings, and it's probably not the best sector if you adjust for risk going forward. However, for example, we do like real estate investment trusts, if you're talking about public equities, because of the higher of the relatively rich yield that they offer. Because what is for sure now is that we're going to be in a negative or very low interest rate environment for quite much longer. In the U.S., the rate hikes have been postponed again. And yesterday we heard from the other central bank that was initially planning to raise interest rates, that they're more likely to be cutting interest rates going forward, which is the Bank of England, of course. So high-yielding instruments such as REITs remain interesting in our view.
Can you give us a word or two about commodities? Because they've been doing very well. I mean, you're talking about gold and oil and even sugar and things like that. And this seems pretty counterintuitive in an economic situation like what we are facing right now.
Well, I mean, commodities, of course, have sold off. We're talking about the industrial complex here. Commodities have sold off quite aggressively earlier in the year, as well as in the middle of, well, over the past couple of years, I shall say, because of the concerns that were associated and are still associated with the slowdown in China and more generally with the resulting cooling of the emerging markets. Now, with China seems to be stabilizing at least around current levels, and there has been significant monetary easing in China as well over the past year or so, which is probably one reason why commodities have found a bottom, at least for now. Whether that's really a sustainable rally and whether the Chinese economy, I mean, I do not expect it to slow down much further at this stage, but whether it will return to that commodity-consuming hyper-investment-driven mode where it's been over the previous decade, I think remains questionable. So I would, you know, welcome the stabilization of commodities, but at this moment, I wouldn't read too much into that either.
Thank you so much.
It's a different story. Gold is, of course, also a hedge and a risk-off, but you probably know that. Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much. That was Mikio Kumada, Global Strategist for LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.